Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Underground. So right now I'm in the process of getting together some questions for frequently asked questions, question and answer, ask me anything, whatever you want to call it, with regards to radio. So in sort of soliciting this out there in the ether sphere on the internet, I realized that there's one question that really I get kind of asked quite a lot. People ask it in very indirect ways, and I have to answer it a little bit separately from the dedicated question and answer video. So hopefully these videos will come out right around the same time as one another. So if you have not seen what the Q&A video is going to be, I haven't recorded it yet. I'm recording this one first, just so everyone's aware, because I think this is a very important question. And the question that I get asked all of the time, both directly and indirectly, is how do I prioritize radio? How do I decide how much money to budget for comms? How much money should I spend on our radio? How much time should I invest in this thing that we call radio, right? How much should I dedicate in terms of money, time, resources, knowledge, all that stuff into the field of communications? How does radio fit into everything else that we have to prepare for, right? And I think this is a good question because we are pulled in many different directions, aren't we? We have all different kinds of communities all trying to say that their subject matter is the best or the most important or so on and so forth, right? You've got the medical community who says that, you know, prepping, you know, with medicine and preparing with medical supplies is the most important thing. You've got the general preppers who say food, water, shelter, that's the most important thing. You've got, of course, the entire gun community, right? Which, despite, I appreciate the fact that some people are coming out and saying, you know, maybe the answer to our problems does not lie with firearms exclusively, right? Despite some people coming out and saying that, there's just still kind of this overwhelming tidal wave of information when it comes to guns. And if you were to go by the internet and the internet's advice, you would think that, you know, owning a firearm is, you know, the most important thing a human being can do. And, you know, that's not really the case, in my opinion. However, when we come to radio, we get the kind of same thing, don't we? We go and we kind of get the idea from a lot of radio guys that, hey, comms, radio is the most important thing. And it's not true. All of this is a balance. So the question is, how much of a balance? Like, how much do we prioritize this? What do we do when we're trying to factor in radio to some of the other financial things that we're doing? Because as we all know, radio stuff's not cheap. So if we're trying to save and prepare and do the best that we can, how does radio factor in and how do I decide that for myself? As one might imagine, you really do have to kind of figure this out yourself. However, I can help by providing my thoughts in terms of, well, I can't tell you what's most important for you, but I can tell you for me and for some of the others out there, which situations might I want to increase the priority that I give to radio? So really, this is just an exercise in risk management, is it not? The risk management matrix process. I have a whole separate video on that if you want to go check that out. It's not really assessing like risk in terms of like a threat to you or anything, but it's the same process. Like, you know, what's the severity of something that could go wrong and what's the likelihood of that happening? If something is very severely bad and if it were to happen, that would be very, very horrible and it's likely to happen, well, maybe I should prioritize preparing for that scenario over something else. The same idea applies to radio, even though we may not see it. So, but there are a few situations and circumstances that I would recommend placing a higher priority on communications if you're in a few situations. So the very first thing that I would encourage you to think about is your own personal situation, mostly in terms of two things, geography and who you want to talk to or who you can talk to. So geographic position is very important in radio because we're limited by physics. We're limited by the radio waves themselves. And if you have just as kind of introducing our two topics, right, to start with, we are very much limited by physics. So just for simplicity's sake, let's consider two scenarios. Let's consider the person who is living in a very tight-knit community. They've got great neighbors. They've got great family members either living with them or in the immediate area. And that's their communications situation. They already have a good community infrastructure. Okay, so that's scenario one. Scenario two is someone who maybe lives in a studio apartment. They're a student or they're finishing up a degree or something like that. They're living and working by themselves maybe. And that's kind of their situation. They don't have anyone in their close immediate environment. They maybe have a roommate. Maybe have one or two coworkers that maybe they could call upon for maybe a limited emergency, but this, you know, maybe they don't have a super great number of people around them that they might be interested in beefing up their communications with. So as you might imagine, these two scenarios are going to be very important as we go through this. So again, geography. Right? If you're in the scenario one and you're living very close to all the people you need to talk to, well, you're lucky because it's going to be a lot easier and you're going to have a lot more options. Whereas if you're kind of a, you know, lone ranger out there by yourself or with a very small group of people who is interested in talking with people much further away, but not so much close together, well, you're in a whole different boat entirely. So geography, the physical terrain in which you're located matters a lot. Sort of linked to this are the people that you might want to talk to. So again, this is very closely related to geography, but not quite. There's a more of a social component to this, which is, okay, if you've got a lot of people in your very close, tight-knit community around you, you're going to have a little bit of an easier time trying to find technology solutions that work for that, because the kinds of communications you're going to need are probably going to be like small unit stuff, right? You're gonna get into that tactical stuff with radio, right? Where you plug in your $500 or $600 headset that's on your helmet into a radio, and you get to go with that kind of stuff, right? Because you have that small unit, that community mentality. Well, the other scenario is quite different, isn't it? The lone person or person with a very small group it's not really like a small unit, right? Maybe one person and a couple of other family members, they're not going to be plugging a $600 headset into something to go kick in doors, right? Their whole situation, their whole communications like needs are different. So you might find that for the person in the tight-knit community that's geographically close together, they have one kind of pathway, or they have many pathways, but one major pathway. Whereas the person who has, well, maybe not so many people around them physically, but they've got people dotted throughout the country, or they're interested in, you know, meeting more people through radio, I suppose. But they're really struggling on the community part. Well, those people will have a whole other road entirely. So geography in terms of physical terrain and in terms of human terrain is very, very important to consider right up front with how high you place communications in your priority. For the person who is in the tight-knit community, well, you know, comms are going to be important for sure, but, you know, investing in a $1,000 radio might not be necessary. You might could go with some of the cheaper options, whereas the Lone Ranger over there in the apartment by themselves, they may have to shell out quite a bit of money to talk to people in a different sort of mode entirely. So we're thinking strategic versus tactical, right? We think about the three levels of warfare. At the top, we've got strategic, we have operational, and we have tactical. That's not just something that we, you know, came up with. There's reasons for this, and we have to realize that if you have a lot of distance between people and you have very little people involved in between, you're going to be more at the strategic level. Whereas if you're going to find yourself talking into a handheld radio a lot of the time, you know, just using your voice to talk to your team, well, you're obviously going to be in more of a tactical level environment, right? So those are two things to consider right up front, is your physical terrain and your human terrain. What does your environment look like? How close are you to other people, and what is the nature of the communications between you, your group and your people? Because this is going to limit the technology that you go with. This is why it really matters on your personality and what you're trying to do in life. As for me, I guess it's somewhat willingly, somewhat unwillingly. It's just kind of how things have worked out. It's not really good or bad, but let me just explain. I have found myself not really having a good, wholesome, fantastic community in the real world, right? So when I take the mask off and I go back to my normal day-to-day life, I don't have good neighbors. I don't have a good community. The closest town has got less than 1,000 people in it, but you would think that it's San Francisco by the policies they put out. And all of this changed within the past year, So there's really not a whole lot of good options for me out there. So you see kind of my perspective, and I can talk about this at greater length. I'm trying to keep things short today, but for those of you who find yourselves kind of hunkering down into kind of like a hermit status a little bit, you may not be totally alone, but you find yourself going to work day to day, interacting with people, but you're never really connecting with people, you've got maybe a lot of people in your life, but none of those people who you interact with, you feel like you can be totally honest with, or you don't feel like they can be totally trustworthy. You may trust them here and there, but they don't get to understand your true feelings on things a lot of time. Some of you out there may have one or two family members, but you might not have any extended family. You might not have any super great neighbors, or you may be in a transient status where you're kind of like a student living in an apartment, or you're kind of moving around for work a lot. And there's many reasons as to why someone in this country may end up feeling like they are sort of alone. No one is truly ever alone, to be honest, but a lot of people certainly feel that way. And when it comes to the people on the earth here, this magic rock going around the sun, a lot of people end up trying to engage in systems and trying to engage in a world where they feel like their efforts are solitary. That's okay. Well, it's not okay. It's sad, and it's unfortunate that our kind of world has gone that way. But this is why I think radio has become such a big thing for a lot of people. It's not just resiliency. It's not just emergency prepping. It's people trying to engage in networks and systems and things like that that don't have anyone else to kind of bounce ideas off. They're trying to network and grow and things like that, and they just don't get that from either social media or in the real world. So radio is a good way to take out a branch that across. And I say all of this because I get these messages. So I get a lot of emails from people saying, hey, thank you for doing this, because I am really kind of by myself here, and I feel like everything is built around the community and society, and I'm just not able to do that right now at this point in my life. Now, hopefully all of us will get there to where that wholesome community can come together with a common goal of, decency and with the idea of building a good society, right? We can talk about all this later, right? Today we're talking about radios. And when it comes to radios, if you are one of those people who finds yourself kind of feeling like you don't really have a good local community, well, you can hop on HF radio and maybe try to figure out some methods of exchanging information with people that are in the real world, but we're brought together using the internet as a tool to get off of the internet, if you know what I mean. Social media, I think, I don't think it was developed for this in mind, but it would have been great. Would it not have been great if Facebook actually was developed to help people grow and come together instead of just being basically a spy platform? Well, you know, radio can still kind of fill that gap. So if you're one of those people who's kind of by yourself, you don't really seem to, you know, have any options for growing your community in your local area, fear not. Things will not always be this way. And radio may be one of those investments that you lean on a little bit more. Again, for those people who find themselves in the exact opposite, who where these words I'm speaking are just foreign to you, you know, if you've, again, if you've got a large, happy family, if you've got good community, you've got great neighbors, maybe not outstanding neighbors, but you've got people, you know, who live next to you that, you know, don't want to kill you kind of thing. This may seem to be a little bit, you know, overboard. But, you know, I don't think it is. I think a lot of people are out there feeling the same things. And it will not always be this way. But I think that radio might be a great tool. Now, I will caveat that by saying, look, you know, if you think that, you know, you're alone in the world and you don't have anybody to talk to and you don't have anyone who shares a similar interest to you and you're interested in growing a community that, you know, maybe is not geographically near, but you want to maintain some friends over a distance, radio is not going to magically make that happen. You know, I could sit here and hawk the ghost net all day long, but it's not going to, you know, it's a tool. It's not a living thing, right? You can't go to it and ask, please, you know, give me a nice squad-sized element of friends who I can call on in an emergency. That's not going to happen, right? But the possibility for this in the future might be good. If nothing else, it's worth a try, right? So as you can probably imagine, a lot of my development and my thought process behind the GhostNet kind of stuff is really for these people because I've been there, you know, and, you know, I'm still kind of there. Thankfully, I have my family to kind of, you know, help me with a lot of things. But, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, we're fairly well isolated sometimes. And especially if it's not organic, especially if, you know, we have a forced isolation kind of scenario like we're familiar with from a couple of years ago, that may be a very good reason to hop on radio or start prioritizing it a little bit more. But again, it's not going to be for everyone. Another thing that I would say bumps that priority level up in terms of radios is the nature of your work, okay, and your role in your community. If you're like me and your role is in the information space and teaching and communicating and providing news and you're not holding a rifle for a living, right? You're doing stuff kind of like what I do. Well, radio is going to be up there in terms of importance. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If your job is to provide information, you need to be able to do that in different situations, because if you have information, but you cannot send it to the people that need it in a timely manner when they need it, you are useless, right? And radio is one of the only technologies we have that is a great force multiplier in that regard. So if my job, if my task, if my position was more along the lines of information, things like that, I would definitely invest more in radio. So many people forget this, and they maybe know it like instinctively, but they don't ever say it out loud, and they certainly don't think about it in any depth. But there's a lot of us out there whose jobs, professions, tasks, roles, whatever, is not going to be the cool guy stuff on YouTube, okay? It's going to be the boring stuff. It's going to be things like logistics, you know, medical stuff, news, information, you know, even the worst kinds of, you know, boring jobs, paper pushers kind of stuff, right? Well, some of us, that's what we do, right? So for those people, it might be a little bit higher priority for investing in radio stuff or investing the time, the mentality, the budget into figuring out comms a little bit more. And before we get into the more technical side of things, and I just start talking about some of the more technical side of radio, there's one more consideration. And this gets left out entirely because, well, it's not something the radio world is very well versed in. Certainly not something I am versed in at all by any means whatsoever, but it is something that is very, very, very important, and that is the concept of leadership. If you are a leader in your community, if you are the one that people come to for advice, for help, when their life is falling apart, or there is some other disaster or something like that, you might want to invest a little bit more in communications than your average bear. Because you cannot lead people that you cannot speak to or communicate with. You see the problem. I've said it before, if you have information, but you cannot give it to anyone, you are useless. That's me speaking as like an analyst from a more analytical style of job. But the same thing applies if you're in a leadership position. If you're a general on the battlefield, but you cannot issue orders, you're useless. And unlike in military service, if you're a company commander, if you're a battalion commander, division commander, so on and so forth, right? You've got a little RTO following you around, some private or some specialist with a nice big heavy radio on their back that they can hand a handset to you, and they can be your means of communicating with your troops on the battlefield. Well, in the civilian world, that doesn't happen. Guess what? I am my own RTO almost all of the time. So this is something to consider, and something that I certainly, certainly wish that those who are in positions in the prepared citizen space or just in normal civilian life, if you are trying to make a difference in the world using your military leadership skills or your other, you know, business leadership, any kind of leadership skills you have developed, but you're not investing in getting that information and getting that leadership out during a disaster, guess what? You're going to have to fall back on people like me, who have got feet in both worlds and are good at neither, right? So your average garbage radio operator who's got some slipshod weekend drill level leadership skills like me is going to be the one who's going to be doing stuff rather than the general or the colonel or the Fortune 500 business CEO that should be leading this. You're going to be stuck with somebody like me, and you don't want that, trust me. So, you don't want your ham radio guys to be your analysts. You don't want your ham radio guys to be your recon team, your scouts out guys, right? Would you really want to, I mean, you know, no disrespect at all to the ham radio community, but I can tell you that I would not want the vast majority of amateur radio operators serving as a recon team. Now, it's easier to train somebody to do that than it is to train a recon guy to be a radio guy, but at the risk of digressing even further than I already have, you really need to start stacking your deck to help yourself out later. And I see so many people that have got that spark of being able to lead people into battle if necessary, right? Hopefully it shall not come to that. But people who are able to get people through a tough time, even if it's nothing more than just being a mentor. That's being a leader, isn't it? Mentoring someone. So those people who have those skills, who have the ability to do it, or if they don't have the skills and they don't have the ability, but they're in the position anyway, and they have to do it, and they mentor someone because they have to, those people had better be able to do so in a contingent situation, and I can think of no better way to do that than via radio, at least when it comes to ensuring the resiliency of it. Radio is not the easiest thing to learn. I'm not going to say we should move all of our comms to radio. I would not want to do that. I don't think you could, but we always have to have that ability to be there. And before I move on, just to kind of wrap things up with one thought, if you have someone, even just one person in your life who counts on you or will count on you or has counted on you when the chips are down and things are going sideways and it seems like there is no way out of the situation and they call on you, are you going to be able to answer the call? Are you going to be able to have the technical ability to speak to that person or communicate with them in some way? Because I can tell you, just through my own very, very limited brief experience, the ability to answer a phone call or answer a text message at 3 a.m. when someone is having a really bad time, that's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful ability to have, not just in terms of disasters, because we get those phone calls all the time, right? You know, hey, can you come help me? There's a tree down across my driveway and I can't get up there to cut it down. Or, you know, hey, I just got into an accident. Can you come pick me up or something like that? The everyday emergencies are a great reason for radio, but the more abstract emergencies are equally, if not more so, important. And I can tell you that the very few people I know would be very, very comforted, and I would be comforted myself if I could, when there's a cell phone outage or the internet's out, things are going crazy, social media is on fire, the world seems like it's ending, if I could fire up a radio and send a, hey, are you okay message to somebody, I would feel better, I'm sure they'd feel better, and I would feel a lot better if someone did the same for me too. So this is bigger than just saying, hey, tell me what radio to buy, isn't it? Because you have to decide how much does that matter to you. How much does the ability to exchange information with another human being, how much does that matter to you? To me, it matters an awful lot. That's why I invest a lot in radio, because I want to be able to be reachable, to be contactable, to be effective, to exchange information, no matter what. We can't always have that guarantee. You know, radios are fallible, right? They're not perfect. There's no perfect radio. As a matter of fact, in the civilian space, we're dealing with compromise on pretty much every level. You know, every radio in the civilian space is compromised compared to what we know is technologically possible. So this is something to consider is, you know, you're dealing with compromise. How much do you value the exchange of information? How much of a leadership role you're in, and how much do you need to talk to someone else? And if you're not in a leadership role, if you're, you know, by yourself, how by yourself are you, right? Are you super by yourself? You know, or you might want to start investing in HF, you know, high frequency radio, so you can talk to at least one other person around the planet. Or do you have other people, you know, near you that maybe you could go with a cheaper and easier option? So these are some of the things you need to think about when it comes to the more high level thinking when it comes to radio, right? It's not just about here's the best radio. This is why it's so hard, I think. Maybe it's just I'm not very good at teaching it, but I see other people trying to struggle with it too. And like, I can see a lot of the other guys talking about radio, a lot of other, you know, like YouTube channels talking about radio, and I see what they're trying to do, and it's really, I agree, you know, they're doing the best they can, and it's a very tough topic. And one of those is the question of how much do I need to prioritize on radio? I think you're just going to have to deal with the fact that it's a sliding scale. If you're in a leadership position, I would prioritize it more. That's my opinion. If your livelihood is in the information space, I would prioritize it a little bit more. If you like the field of intelligence and doing local intelligence preparation of the battle space stuff, you like the intel cycle, you like doing more intel and news and stuff like that and the differences between the two, You like doing that kind of stuff? Well, you know, maybe radio is probably a good investment for you. But if you don't need it, I can't convince you that you need it, because that's disingenuous. I'm not trying to sell radios here. You know, if you live in a great community where, you know, you've got great neighbors, you've got great family, you've got everything you need, you know, locally to you, you might not need more than this. That might be all you need. So hopefully this helps people figure it out. And for all of those people out there who are in more of the camp of the HF radio stuff, fear not, I will have more content on this soon. I just thought that this might be helpful for kind of breaking out of our intellectual fog, so to speak, and talking about some of these differences and some of the considerations you might have, because obviously this is a very big question and I get it a lot and I don't have a good answer. And I figured that by turning the camera on and just kind of trying to meander my way towards an answer might be helpful for some of you. So we'll see, though, right? We'll see. And hopefully this sparks a lot more questions that we can kind of get down to the nitty-gritty when it comes to the physical technology that actually is very, very helpful. So thank you all for watching. Again, thank you for sticking with me as I kind of meander my way through some of this stuff. I am not the end-all be-all source for radio stuff, as you guys know. I know just enough to get by. So, and for sure, There's a lot to learn left for everyone out there. So hopefully this has been helpful for some of you. If nothing else, hopefully it starts getting some more questions to ask. You know, what's my situation? Who do I have to talk to? If I don't have to talk to anybody, is that really true? Are there people out there that I can talk to? You know, what capabilities do I need? What am I willing to compromise on based on price? You know, all of these things need to be considered before we can start talking about the actual radios themselves. So we will get there, though. We'll get there. But I think the best way to do that is to talk about maybe some of these specific scenarios and come at it from that angle, because it's going to vary quite a lot. So, but more to come on that later. For now, I think I've taken far too much of your time as is, and I will start working on some more concrete things that might help a little bit more than just thought processes, right? So thank you all for watching. Thanks for sticking with me again, and we will see you next time. And as always, fight in the shade.